We're going to be talking about our mission report for 2019, some things that have been happening with the various efforts that have been going on around the world. Some of these pictures you'll recognize, some of the people in them, for they're you, they are you. so we'll be looking at several countries tonight, and lots of pictures, so we'll see how we get through this. But so our mission report for the year, a lot of people have been asking what's been going on, when are you going to have a report on this trip or this trip or that trip? Well, tonight's the night. We're doing them all tonight, okay? So we'll see how you guys were going to do house to house, heart to heart anyway, so you don't have to do that, so we have plenty of time, right? So we're good, all right. Many of you may not know that you have to first turn on the clicker. There we go. So you may not know that we did a short trip to Cuba. I was called by Chris Fry. You might know that name. And he called me and said, hey, do you want to go with me on April 1st to Cuba? And I said, haha, that's funny. So, because April Fool's Day, I thought, never mind. Okay, so wake up, people. Okay, so you can't just Western Union money to Cuba, all right? So to get money to Cuba, you have to actually take it to Cuba. Much like you have to actually fill out cards, and there are people who will pick them up from you. You have to actually physically fill out a card, and people will actually physically come down the aisle and pick those up. They're waving in the back. For those of you who are already doing it, there's a card in front of you, if you wouldn't mind filling that out. They won't stop flagging me down unless I say that, okay? So just to let them have a break, go ahead and fill those out and put those in the pew in front of you, and they'll be picked up momentarily, just like we had to take money down to the brethren there. So the church there, you have to worship in a home. You can't have a building. You have to worship in a home. And to be able to worship in a home, you have to own that home. And so there was donations that were pulled together in order to buy a home. And so we had to bring them down there. So there's, in order to bring enough money, we couldn't just put all the money on one person and send them down. That's illegal. So we had to break up the monies and go down. And so it was just an overnight trip. Mauricio and I went down because Chris Fry said, I need some Spanish speakers to go down with me just to take money, which is similar to what the early church did, right? They were the ones, Barnabas and Paul were in charge of taking money to those who were in need, and so that's kind of what happened. So there's some things you see in Cuba quite a bit over there. So Paraguay also happened with our youth. We went down to Paraguay in July, and which is kind of been our habit to be gone over July 4th, we'll talk about that in a moment. Here's the crew that went down, 6 adults, 10 youth, and a lot of crazy. So we all went down together, and lots of flying. So we flew down, some of us not having as good a time as others, but we made our trip. That was for them, like you guys can tell. All right, so here we are after getting in. We have to buy a visa to get into Asunción. If you haven't already, it's a visa that's good for the youth, for the life of your passport. The Paraguayans felt bad that we got there and it was 4th of July, and as Americans we had to celebrate, so we cooked hamburgers and hot dogs and shot off fireworks, and so they felt bad that we were there on 4th of July, missing out on that. So here we had to travel by bus everywhere we went, so that's... here we are on our way to... We went out to a town called Arigua. We had the main work that we were doing with our youth was going out to Arigua, and we had a church encampment, much like So. It's like So meets gospel meeting is kind of what we were doing out there. So we all went out there, and everybody there in Paraguay had been inviting their friends, sending WhatsApp messages to get them to come. And so we went to this event, and we were out there Friday night. We played games out there as well. Asked the youth what they were doing with those yellow packing peanuts. Okay, ask the youth about that if you have a question about what's going on there. But we played games with them. We played soccer. I told them from the very beginning, when we go down there, do not play soccer, Americans versus Paraguayans. You will lose, trust me. Don't do that. So they didn't. They blended in and had a good time playing soccer. Some of them had soccer skills they didn't know they had. And then we had small group studies. So we had one of the members down there would preach, and then we'd have small group studies afterwards. And we actually had 30 visitors there that weekend. So 30 people who were not members of the church were there and coming. So it was a very good, very well attended. We had 90 in total on Sunday. So it was great, a great event. And see here, Eliezer is a missionary supported by the Sacramento congregation in San Lorenzo. And then you might recognize that guy, Ivan, part of the work there, part of the trip. And then one night we had a bonfire because it was 38 degrees there at night. So it was summertime here, it was wintertime down there. We had a good time, it was nice. So we had a bonfire, roasted marshmallows, obviously, you see there. But what happened as we began to say, hey, let's sing some songs. And so we started singing. We'd sing in English, and they'd sing the counterpart song in Spanish. And so depending on where you're standing around the fire, you might be singing in Spanish or might be singing in English. It was really, really, just really neat event. And they really enjoyed it. The youth there really enjoyed that, sharing that time. So there we are all at the encampment. It was a very good trip. We also passed out flyers in the street because that's what you do with your children. You give them a bunch of piece of paper and send them out in the street to pass out flyers. You can get rid of a lot of flyers there on a street corner. You see here another group walking down the street, and they're finished with their flyers. So we got rid of a lot of flyers there that afternoon, handing them out there at the street corner. We also took them downtown Asuncion and got the picture there by the Capitol. You can see both sides of it there. So the kids, this was the end of the tour of duty for the children. So it's a two-week session. So there's the, we go down with everybody, and then the Blackmers stay one extra week. And so we bid them adieu early in the morning, this morning. And then we began working. This was the families group. This is the young families group that we had started when we were there. They've continued going, and so when we come into town, they have us teach a class, and so we had class and some lessons based on some of the games we played while we were there that weekend. And then Kara also worked with her mother's group that she'd been working with since she'd been there, and so just continuing some of the same things we'd done while we were there, and meeting with different individuals while we were there as well. So it was a time for us to kind of get to spend some time with the Paraguayans and recharge them, edify them, build them up. And so that's kind of what was happening with the Blackmers the extra week while we were there. Now Jeff's going to come up and say a little bit about what's happening or has happened in the Bahamas.
So when we started this year, we thought, you know, that we would be doing a little bit in the Bahamas this year. And as most of you know, we ended up doing quite a lot. But the first place we started out was our plan was to go over to 8 Mile Rock. And it's a small church, just a little bit north, maybe 25 minutes by car north of Freeport. Freeport is Freeport Church of Christ is the main city. And so we... See what's going on up there? Okay. Well, I've got the clicker. Okay, I'm in control. So so we put our group together, our first group. There's a group of them. And actually, what I'd like to ask, if you were on that trip, would you just quickly stand so we can see who all went to that trip? Okay, we got a few here. We're not great Sunday night attenders for this trip, on this trip. So you can see, attending Sunday night is not critical if you want to go on this trip. But I'm sure it's just an aberration for this week. But anyway, we had a great team. It was kind of cool because we started out by getting on a cruise ship and going over. It just happens to be that is the least expensive way to get across by far. And so we got on a cruise ship, had a great time together, spent a lot of time getting to know each other and growing together and getting prepared for our trip. And so when we got over there, our goal was to pass out some flyers, but most importantly, try to talk to those, door knock and try to talk to those people that are in 8 Mile Rock around the church, not too far from the church building. And just talk to them about the Lord. And if we could get into a Bible study, that would be great too. And then each night have a little bit of a gospel meeting. Oh, wrong way. Let's see here. Here's a part of our crew. So it was kind of interesting before when we got going, we were having all these meetings on Wednesday nights, getting prepared to go, get everybody ready to roll. And then the last night I said, well, let's just do a little role playing so we can get used to, because I mean, you know, knocking on doors is a little bit fearful thing. As a matter of fact, this last Saturday, everybody got a chance to try that. And hopefully everybody's been successful this week, I guess, doing that. But it's a little different because everybody's very receptive in the Bahamas. Sometimes you knock on a door over here and people aren't very happy about it. But over there, almost everybody is very receptive of it. And that is pretty cool. And so we did, and we invited, and we got into several Bible studies which were outstanding. But there was one of our participants, and I will not say who, that when we got to the role-playing, they just said, I don't think I could do this. You know, I just don't think I could handle it. And it's like, you know, boy, we had to, oh, you can do it, you can do it. You know, we really had to encourage this person to go because they didn't think they could do it. And so a little bit more about that in a second. So here's Josh. Josh is an all-star, guys, let me tell you. So Josh got over there, and he was given some lessons, and I mean to tell you, Josh was really spreading the word, buddy. He was telling them it like it is. Did an excellent, outstanding job, and just so proud. You know, I'm sitting in the pew saying, that's my preacher right there. That's my preacher up there. He did a great job. We really are proud of him and everything. So this is a little bit what it looked like. And some of these places you go to, you're like, oh, man, I don't know if I'm going to go there, you know. But every time you went in, I mean, people were just, hey, you know, nice to meet you. Oh, sure, you know, I've heard about it, you know, and everything. And so it was really good, you know, and we did some. But what was interesting is this one person who all but decided they were going to go, we just said, well, look, all you got to do is go. You can just ride in the car with us, okay? And so you don't have to get out or nothing. You know, if you want, you can just hand somebody a flyer, and that's the end of it. Because we tried to engage in conversation with people. And so we watch them first day, maybe a flyer or two. Second day, you know, walking with us, you know. Third day, this person's knocking on doors and just, I mean, we couldn't even keep up with this person. They were so into it. And once they saw, you know, saw what it was like and everything. So here's Joel right here knocking on a door, and there's Pat and Pat. So they got to be really close friends, and this is just a little scene just a block away. I mean, you know, this is where 8 Mile Rock is, and it's right there on the ocean. It was really beautiful. Let's see, a little bit more door knocking. Here's the church. The church is not very big. There's maybe 25 seats in there, something like that. They got a little bitty kitchen and everything. And what's really interesting, guys, is that in this last shipment we sent them, we just sent them 17 pallets of supplies. And so I'm just kind of wondering what they're going to do with this little room where there's 25 people and how they're going to take care of it. But anyway, they, so that was really good. And what was really cool is, they tried it with other groups. There have been some other groups going and everything like that. But, I mean, we really got into it. It was really a special time. And what was cool is that this little congregation of maybe six people, you know, and you know, at maybe at most at this particular point, though they're working very hard, we had up to 55 people who came to our lessons. And I mean, there was people sitting in the trees, there's people across the streets, you know, trying to pretend like they weren't there, but they're listening to every word. And each night it grew, it was a record for them every night. And I think we started out maybe 25 or 30, and then 40, and then 50. And again, Josh had some outstanding lessons that he preached while he was there. You would have been so proud. And you know, it's really something. I want to encourage you that if you have never been on a mission trip with your brothers and sisters, I really want you to think about it. You know, it's like, oh, it's not for me. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm, you know, don't have enough money. You know, I don't look good enough. You know, whatever, you know, it is. But let me just tell you, if you really want to grow, you need to go. And it was kind of interesting because the people who went on this trip, we weren't particularly, I mean, we're brothers and sisters, but we weren't particularly close. Hey, how you doing on Sunday? You know, we knew each other and everything. But the time we got to spend and the talent that came to the forefront as people got there and started applying themselves. I know a lot of y'all know Jim Rogers. And one day, the first day, I think maybe it was Josh that said, hey, Jim, you know, would you like to lead singing? You know, and Jim led a little song or two. And man, Jim became an all-star song leader. He led all of our singing and everything and just did a fabulous job. So that was really great. I'm just going to take 2 minutes to talk about what I did this weekend and what you are doing every day. So you know that we're supporting Marsh Harbor, Freeport, and 8 Mile Rock, and we're also sending things to people in Nassau that are evacuees from Marsh Harbor, okay? So I was blessed with the opportunity this weekend to be able to go to Freeport for a couple days and to Marsh Harbor. And Freeport has been doing a great job. I've got some pictures that are just going to knock you out. I know, you know, so many of you have been working so hard, okay? And you might be getting weary, or you might be getting tired, or you might be thinking, oh, you know, they got enough volunteers, or, you know, I'm on to the next thing and stuff like that. But let me tell you, the work over there is just beginning. And let me tell you something else. I was fortunate this morning to be able to have an opportunity to speak some in front of the Freeport Church and tell them a little bit about what's happening over there. And as I talked, every person in that auditorium was in tears. You know, so thankful for what you're doing. You will never, ever know. When they announced me to came up, the entire and they don't clap or anything over there. The entire church was clapping their hands and just in joy and just wanted to convey to me, please thank the people at Palm Beach Lakes. You have no idea. And the lesson this morning was very interesting because the preacher is an excellent preacher, and I've got a recording of it. I would love to share it because everyone should hear it. But they talked about the opportunity that has happened because of the storm. And you know, they have their way of presenting things. And he started saying, you know, look, it's been terrible. Some of us don't have homes, you know, and some of us are never going to have homes again. You know, and then some of us do, you know, we've got cupboards in our homes. He said, to tell you the truth, he said, some of us have more food in those cupboards than have ever been there before, you know, because of the work that's being done, the food and the clothes and the things that are going over there. And the people are still not getting food because there's no restaurants. I mean, Wendy's was one of the only restaurants that was open over there, but they're starting to get a little bit more open. But we went out and we handed out care packages. Much of the stuff that you all packed and bought and whatever they sent, they put them in little boxes, and we go out and hand them out. And, I mean, people were just like, oh, you know, thank you, you know, for a bottle of water. You know, oh, I need food. You know, we fed them warm meals. And the people in Freeport are just, like, unbelievable. And we'd go down the street, and they'd say, Church of Christ, Church of Christ, go Church of Christ, you know, and all these people that never ever heard of the Church of Christ, you know, because of the work that they're doing over there with some of what you're sending. And so if you think you're getting weary, okay, and you think that you've worked too hard, or if you have not volunteered yet, let me tell you, we need every person. Every person needs to do this. I made a little analogy today when I got to speak, and I talked about the opportunity, because it was all about opportunity that hurricane has caused them today. And so I said, you know, I just want to tell you about the opportunity that you have given us at Palm Beach Lakes. I said, you know, if Jesus said, if you give someone who needs a cup of water a cup of water, it's like giving a cup of water to me, to Jesus. And I said, I want to thank everyone here because you have allowed us to give lots of cups of water. And I said, let me tell you, we are grateful. We're so sorry for your issue, but we are so thankful that the Lord is blessing us by giving us that chance to serve. I'm going to talk real quickly about Marsh Harbor. It's absolutely devastating. I've never seen anything like it. Many of you probably went down to Andrew on relief and things like that, and you saw what Andrew's like. Take that times 10. That's how bad Marsh Harbor is. It's like I kept thinking about my calendar. I'm thinking, well, when I get back Monday, I got to go to work. I got to do that. Let me assure you that time has stopped in Marsh Harbor. There's nobody worrying about their calendars. There's nothing going on. There's no businesses. There's no jobs. There's no food. If you want to go to try to repair your house, which every house was extensively damaged, without exception, I did not see any house that was not extensively damaged. But even to get to your house to try to fix it, you have to go through debris that is just unbelievable that's there. The water in our church building over there came up 8 foot high in the building. There were dead bodies found in our building, in the church over there. There were sharks in the streets and things like that. And we haven't got to Marsh Harbor yet. We've done very little for Marsh Harbor because there's no shipping to be able to get anything in. And we're hoping and praying that in the next week or two that Tropical will. And what we've done for Freeport, we're going to have to continue to do because they still need food and water and they need so many things still. But when we hit Marsh Harbor, our work is going to double and triple. It's going to get much more. And you know, it's easy to say, I'm too tired, I'm too leery, I don't have time. You know, I don't usually volunteer. There's no one here that can't volunteer. And I beg and plead with you, if you had a chance to go and look in the eyes of the people who are over there, you would not be too tired. You would not be too weary. You would be ready, you know, at a moment's notice. They are so dependent on us, you cannot believe. And they are so thankful for what we're doing because we're providing, you know, the Lord is providing through us. And the Lord has done so much to bless us here. And we got to think about that. And this is our time to offer that cup of water. And I beg of everybody to get involved and take a part. This is going to be a long haul and a lot to do. I'm sorry, I'm way over my time limit. I could talk for a week on this, but thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff, for what you're doing and keeping us informed about what's going on over there. There's a lot the church can do, and a lot the church continues to do. As we were there in Eight Mile Rock, it was a blessing to be with the brethren there. And unfortunately, they're going through this rough time, this hard time now, but it is a blessing no matter what the situation is to be able to work together as brothers and sisters. And in doing so, we continue to talk about the Easter Island and the work that's going on over there. We were there in March, and a few of us went in March over to Easter Island. This is the materials we took down. And we always take information for them. These are actually from house to house, heart to heart. We take Bibles over. We take tracts. We take books for them to study. We take information because we're not there all the time. But they, like Jeff was saying, you know, are thankful for this congregation. Every time I leave, they say, please tell the brethren how thankful we are that you guys travel so far and come here to teach us about God's word. They are so thankful. And so it's encouragement to see them. So we're out handing out information and talking with those who are selling. So there's people that have different stands and they're selling trinkets to tourists. And so we have to go by and kind of get them to understand that, no, we're not tourists. We're here for you. We're here to serve you. We're here to share the gospel with you. And so we do that by handing out Bibles because you can't buy Bibles on the island. There's no place to buy Bibles. And so this is a service we can do, handing out information to the locals. We go around to the hospital there and talk to people that will allow us to talk with them and talk about the Bible. Some people, that's the moment they need God. That's the moment they're most looking for God. And so it's a great opportunity to share with them. This is Anna and Peaky, and we were sitting down to get ready for a Bible study outside Peaky's house there. And so we continue to encourage the brethren while we're there as well and doing a lot of studies. We usually study with them two or three times a day as well as other studies we're doing. And here we are leaving. And I want to tell you about, you see Udi there, and Andrea in the foreground, she's doing the selfie there for us. This has been an interesting situation with them in that we've been talking about them about, you know, they need to get married. And so much so that every time I had an opportunity just to sit down and study with them, I would say, all right, let's go to Ephesians 5. And they're like, oh, we know. And so before I came down, before Dan and I went on this next trip, and you'll see here in a moment, I got a call from Udi, a WhatsApp message that Andrea said, let's go out and go kind of pass the yard. Let's go walk, travel around the island a little bit. And it was like raining. He's like, why do we want to go out? Well, they went down to a beach that she wanted to go to, and she had prepared to be baptized. She said, I want you to baptize me, Udi. And so Udi baptized her, and then I'll show you some things that happened on this next trip with Dan and I. So Dan McLeod and I went here recently. Of course, you can see the dates there. That trip got cut short. We had to kind of wait and see what was going on with the hurricane before we could leave. But we ended up making it over there. You can see down here at the top of the stairs coming down off the airplane. I didn't have a lot of pictures of our study time. There's a lady that we're here's Dan going into the airport. It's interesting, when you go to the airport, there's a gate number. When I was first going to the island, it would say gate, and then next to it in Spanish, the only one, right? But they've updated, now it says gate one, right? They've gotten more professional. But here we are entering into the island. When Karen and I and Vivian were there before, we studied with a lady named Blanca, who's also a person that sells different things, and we actually got to follow up with her on this study, on this trip with Dan. That doesn't always happen. So sometimes we go on these trips and we study with somebody, and then it's like 6 months later, I'm there to study with them. I show up, I've remembered their name, I've written it down, and say, hey, what's going on? Let's study. And they look at me like I'm from Mars because they don't remember or want to forget that they studied with me. And so the follow-up study doesn't always happen. But this time it did with Blanca, so that's been a blessing. And so she's saying, keep studying, let's keep doing this. So that will be something that we continue to do as we're there. And so we were there for a few days and studied with a brother and encouraged them and studied with some new contacts. And so it was encouraging to be with them. But part of our trip also in coming back is we spent some time in Santiago. And while we were there in Santiago, I met with these preachers and talked about what's going on. So all the time that I've been going over to Easter Island, I've never really stopped and stayed in Santiago long enough to figure out what's going on in Santiago. I knew of a American missionary was there and a little bit about what was going on, but I had no idea what was going on in Santiago. So I got in contact with one of them, and I said, can we meet up while I'm in town? And they said, yes, that'd be great. And so I met with a brother, and we had breakfast at Johnny Rockets, which kind of blew my mind. I didn't know Johnny Rockets did breakfast, but, over there, they can do whatever they want. And we met with them, and they are training preachers in their houses in the mornings and then going out and evangelizing all over Santiago. It was really encouraging to hear what they're doing about how the churches come together and raise funds to send these men to various parts of Chile. I don't know if you ever looked at Chile on the map. It looks like a zipper on the side of South America. It's about this wide and about a million miles long, right? So it's a lot of area. Obviously, I'm exaggerating, but you understand the point. It's a lot of area to cover. And so they send these men, they hear about some people meeting together, or they get word that there's three ladies that are meeting down in the southern part of Chile. So they sent a man down there to worship with them and start teaching them the gospel and teaching them and encouraging them. So the church is there in Santiago and around about raise funds to send these men in these places. So it was encouraging to speak with them, and it's possible in the future they might be a part of helping out on Easter Island as well. So it was very encouraging to see what God is doing in Santiago. Of course, while we were there, I mentioned something else that was going on. So I told you they were, Urian baptized Andrea, and while we were there in Santiago, on my birthday, they got married. So this was part of their wedding ceremony there at Andrea's house. And so they wanted to do they do in South America, they have the civil wedding, and then they have the church or the religious wedding. And so they did the civil wedding there in Santiago, there at her house. And you'll see that's the Uri's family. And you see they're underneath the altar, you see them. And so they did the civil wedding there. And then when Lord willing, I go next year, they want me to do the ceremonial, the religious ceremony. So that was really encouraging. I said, they said, oh, Josh, we didn't get you anything for your birthday. I said, oh, but you did. You have no idea. And so it was really encouraging to see them and their growth. And it was interesting, while we were studying there one day when Dan and I were studying around the kitchen table, we had one of their cousins was over. Udi said, can I talk for just a moment? And I said, by all means, please. And so he started, it just happened to be something that we had been talking about earlier that he'd been studying a lot. And so he took over the study and started leading the study in that moment. And I cannot tell you, parents, you understand what it's like when you see a child get to the point where they're doing things on their own. And this very thing, when Udi took over and started leading that study, it was like, you have no idea how long. This has been, he was baptized in 2014. And he's been going over there and studying with him, and we continue to study via Skype on Sundays. Actually, just worshiped with them this afternoon before coming here. They say hi to everybody, by the way. But to see the growth and to see him in the confidence there he is, to be able, he just took over and started teaching. And I said, you were just teaching that class. And it just dawned on him what he was doing. Because the whole time I'm over there, I said, Rudy, you need to fill yourself up so much with Bible that if somebody just pokes you, Bible comes out. And so after he got done, I said, it just came out, didn't it? And he said, it did. And so it's encouraging to see their growth and to see what they're doing over there. And we have another sister in Christ over there as well. So the growth is happening is because of Mission Sunday, because of this congregation. This is very much, Dan, I think Palm Beach Lakes feels like an Antioch congregation, doesn't it? It's a congregation that sends people out. It's a congregation that is seeing to the needs of the saints, and we're doing that here, and it is to the glory of God. It's not anything that we're doing. It's because we're putting our shoulder to the work, and God is blessing us, and we see the fruit here. And so it's very encouraging to see what's happening on Easter Island and around the world as Palm Beach Lakes has an influence through the gospel. But tonight, if you want to put on the Lord in baptism and be baptized like Andrea, you can do that. You can do that yourself, having heard the message. And as we read those passages tonight in Acts, talking about those who are going and taking the messages to other places, and those who are calling, please come, we want to hear the message. Tonight you have the opportunity as we stand and as we sing.